at a time. To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hey, coming up in this hour of ATN, of course, we're going to examine the political process for the Republicans in South Carolina. All important boots are on the ground. We're going to talk to Ken Bassinet from Kiplinger and find out what they're saying. He is the political editor. Find out what they're saying about the process for the Republicans in narrowing down the candidate. It's Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney when anybody talks about establishment guys. But what does that mean? And what does that mean for the rest of the people that are still in the race? Who is most likely to drop out, let's say, out after South Carolina and on the road to Florida? And when is this thing going to wrap up for the Republicans? Is it better for it sooner or later? Interesting things, I think, happening all the way through till we get to the convention in Florida. Bunch of things happened that would be considered buzz in your backyard. As I say, this show is all about that. And a lot of conversation, certainly, over the weekend, still dealing with the shocking video that made the rounds that I'm sure many of you have seen of the Marines who urinated on the Taliban corpses. Now, we talked about this on our last show. Now, Texas Governor Rick Perry decides to get into the fracas here, and he says that the Obama administration overreacted to that videotape that showed the Marines, there was four of them, that were definitely peeing on dead Taliban fighters in Afghanistan. What he said is, look, these kids made a mistake. There's no doubt about it. They shouldn't have done it. It's bad. He was on one of the CNN programs. But he said to call it a criminal act, I think, is over the top. And the U.S. Marine Corps is investigating this. They're deep into this. And they're going to decide if any charges, if they're going to bring any, against the four Marines that are in this tape that has gone viral and beyond. I mean, you already have on the record the Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and a bunch of other people from the Obama administration just slamming the Marines for what happened, saying that they desecrated, they mocked, they filmed for personal use dead bodies, and that it's a grave breach of the law of armed conflict. And even the lieutenant general who heads the day-to-day stuff in Afghanistan said that. He said the same thing. You can't do that, defiling, desecrating, any of that is forbidden. So this is the problem. There's a code, there's an ethic, there's a law that you have to live by, and they broke that. They broke it, bottom line. I mean, yes, is it unfortunate? Can you see what happened here? Do you think I have any love lost for the Taliban? Certainly not. But we know in this age of flipping open the cell phone and taking these shots, do we learn anything from Abu Ghraib? Of course. You can't do that. And the bottom line is, at the very least, they're all gone. Once the Marines are revealed, I mean, I can't see how they would continue on the same path. Absolutely not. So Rick Perry's trying to, you know, pump some life into his presidential bid, I think jumped on this when he was asked about it. And it was a mistake, and it was stupid, and there isn't any doubt about it. He's right about that. But it was over the top what they did, because they just know you can't do that. They know that from other people who have gotten in trouble, even if you want to do it, even if you're dying to do that, even if you're wanting to poke at those bodies and just say, ha, 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 you didn't get us, we got you, whatever. You just can't do that because you know that they're going to come after you, they being anybody, including the president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai. You're just feeding them at the trough by letting that happen. And the Marine Corps is not going to stand by. And Leon Panetta is not going to stand by. So the answer is they're definitely gone. And I am the big defender of anybody in the service. There's no question about that. But unfortunately, they know that they can't take the picture or shoot video and do what they were doing and not think that some idiot that they sent it to, it didn't just stay between them. Somebody leaked this. Somebody leaked it, and they suffer the consequences. So if they thought it was funny and they sent it to the wrong person because that's what happened. Or if they recorded it and posted it on the Internet, then it's just, you know, stupid. It was a hoorah in your face, but unfortunately that comes across as desecration, and they should have been much, much smarter than that. And I'm sure those guys were smart. They were not thinking. They were stupid in that moment. They were stupid in that moment. I know lots of ex-Marines. Many of you listening to me have worn the uniform, and I know you would tell me the same thing, that, yes, what happens when nobody sees and when you're exhausted and you've done the job and you have talked between yourselves is one thing, but when you have the uniform on, you're taught how important it is to wear that uniform and how to be a stand-up guy, even in the unbelievable circumstances. So by doing that and by saying, you know, boys will be boys, you cannot stand by that. You can't stand by it. And we just know the inevitable here. It shouldn't have happened. What fool makes a video of it? And so then you do that, make the video, and it gets out there. Whoever they sent it to, unless they posted it themselves, which would be even more ridiculous, then that's, you know, they wrote their own ticket out of the Marines. And if they really love being in the Marines, it's too bad because it's going to be very, very costly for every single one of them, without a doubt, without a doubt. All right, I said that we were going to talk also about what's happening in the election, because that also is the big buzz around town, big, small, wherever you hail from. We know that the speculation on what's going to happen is rampant. In fact, I was over at my family's house, and my father-in-law was insistent that Mitt Romney wasn't going to get the nomination. And then I tried to tell him, but you're not watching the polls. You got to look at the polls. And in some of the latest polls, Romney is 21 points ahead. So, you know, you can say what you want about the polls, but his load is growing less and his lead is growing more. Newt Gingrich might be second in some of them, but, you know, in this insider average poll that was just released, it shows that Romney is leading with 32% of the vote. Behind Romney is Newt Gingrich. He's second with 21%, and that's followed closely by Ron Paul with 14%, if you wanted to look at the actual numbers. This is likely voters who are registered in South Carolina and are likely to vote in the Republican contest. So that's how they look at it, age and race and gender and all that other stuff. So the only candidate to really gain any ground in the survey since last week is Mitt Romney. Newt Gingrich is second, and then, you know, Ron Paul is up a point, I think, the last time we even looked at that poll, and Rick Santorum is down in another direction. So if this continues, it seems like there's no doubt that Mitt Romney will take South Carolina. Do you want to throw in your 2 cents on any of that? And do you care about polls? Are you poll weary? Are you sick of the polls? 800-259-5791. I'll meet you on the flip side with some odds and ends.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, Mike Penz with Midas Resources Incorporated, Senior Monetary Specialist. With foreign countries going bankrupt and states within the United States going bankrupt, not to mention all the Ponzi schemes in the marketplace, do you think your money and investments are safe? Of course not. Call me, Mike Penz, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. I can help answer any questions you have about protecting your money, whether it be personal possession or holding precious metals in an IRA. Gold carries a 6,000-year history. It is the only real and lasting money in the world. Paper currencies have come and gone. Governments have toppled. The world map has changed many times, and yet gold still thrives in almost every country. Gold is the ultimate store of wealth. Central banks continue to maintain reserves of gold. Common sense begs the question, why? Let me help you answer that question. Call me, Mike Penz, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. Call now, and I will send you free information on precious metals. Call Mike Penz, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beets, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Did you watch a lot of football? Were you paying attention to what was happening on the Sunday swirl on the Sunday shows? Looks like John Huntsman is going to drop out of the race. That's not a surprise. Although he had a lot of wind in his sails when he was going to New Hampshire and going through that process, there's just no way. He's going to withdraw from this race apparently on Monday. He'll endorse Mitt Romney, according to a lot of sources. And that makes sense because he knows the fight is done for him. So to push forward and try to raise that money in South Carolina and then to move on to Florida would be very, 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 very tough. And speaking of Mitt Romney, here's what Mitt Romney had to say about debt and how immoral the debt is, and actually who we are basically addressing that question. Take a listen.
Think of the burden being passed on to our kids. I don't think it's just bad economics to keep spending too much. I think borrowing trillions of dollars more and passing that on to the next generation is immoral, and it will stop in a Romney administration. It's really, in my view, an election about the soul of America. We're going to have to ask ourselves, who are we? What are we as a nation?
All right, that is the big, bad, burning question. And I think that's a question that the middle will be the big tug of war over. What do the independents think, since that's the major voting block? Will they go with the Republican candidate, who could be Mitt Romney, Or do they end up going with the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And that would be Barack Obama. It depends on what kind of a grade do you give this president, A, B, C, D, F. What kind of a grade do you give him? How well do you think he's performed in the 4 years as the commander-in-chief? Do you take the view of anybody but Obama? Or there are plenty of people, and I said this last week when I was in New Hampshire, who are saying anybody but Mitt Romney. And what happens if you're anybody but Obama and anybody but Mitt Romney? Well, geez, you're kind of stuck. And a lot of times those people are the people who will say, yeah, I'm not even going to go out and vote. And you might fall into that category. I don't like the choices. So if that's going to be the candidate, then I'm not even going to go out and vote. The Republicans are hoping that's not going to happen. It's probably why part of that move, as I said, with Huntsman makes sense, because then he can start to push more for Mitt Romney. Any of the people who are backing him, he'll push them in the direction of Romney. While still, you have Ron Paul, who has a very loyal following. And Ron Paul is not out of this thing at this point, but he's a very strange candidate for the establishment people, and that's the problem with Ron Paul. But he's in South Carolina, and he picked up a huge endorsement from a popular person with the Tea Party, a state senator named Tom Davis, who threw his support his way of Ron Paul at a wild crowd in Myrtle Beach. And Davis, just so you know, is a former chief of staff to the Republican governor, Mark Sanford. Remember him? And he is definitely a very vocal critic of what we're doing in this country monetarily with a deficit, etc. He's a fiscal conservative. So remember, keep in mind, Ron Paul plays a part in this election on the Republican side for sure, because he was second in New Hampshire and third in Iowa. And let's see what happens in South Carolina. Will he pull that second place, even with Mitt Romney, if Mitt Romney still ends up first? It's fascinating stuff to me, I think. It's like handicapping a horse race, frankly. It's what it is. And I think that there, the categories I threw out, that's what I'm hearing. Anybody but Obama, anybody but Mitt, and then who's in between and what happens to the crumbs, you know, ultimately in the middle. It was the weekend, and of course, heading into the weekend, we did our ever-popular nail the score. We're giving away a GPS system that's wireless, and then it's just incredible the way they've souped this thing up, where you can be lost, and you can say, I'm at so-and-so, and they find your way out of the tunnel, so to speak. It's not your old GPS where you drove off the bridge. Poof! Where are they? I'm just following the GPS. That's what I was doing. Anyway, I'm very excited about it, and it's a Magellan, all souped up, brand new, and that's part of the prize pack that we'll be giving somebody when they nail the score. I'm confident someone will nail the score. Now, over the weekend, there was four big ball games. You might have been watching some of these. Did you happen to see San Francisco beat New Orleans? Wow, what a game that turned out to be. What a crazy, crazy game. San Francisco won 36-32. And what was interesting about that is I had written that off as, to be honest, Drew Brees would come through in the end. And, you know, maybe it'd be kind of a close game, but I don't think it's going to be that exciting. Well, I am so glad that I tuned in to the last part of that, because it was very exciting. I mean, the changes, the lead changes back and forth at the end of that game. Absolutely incredible. I mean, absolutely, just absolutely breathtaking, I think, what happened. One of the best games so far in the playoffs, without a doubt. Huge, huge for San Francisco. You know, it's funny, you had Drew Brees, who has a 66-yard strike to one of his receivers, Jimmy Graham, and there's 137 basically left on the clock, give or take, right? And it looked like they were rallying. I mean, they were rallying from a 17-point deficit. And then it was a 1-2 punch back again, back and forth, just a wild duel at the end that you know, fell in the favor of San Francisco. And like I said, for my money, the Vernon Davis, the 14-yard pass to Vernon Davis from Smith, from Alex Smith, was amazing. It reminded people of the catch, and it happened with very little time on the clock. There ended up with 9 seconds left after that. Just crazy. Matt, you were watching that game. Was that like the best game of the entire weekend?
Yeah, that was one of the games of the year, in my opinion.
I think so.
That was, especially the last 4 minutes of the game with all the lead changes. And
yes.
I mean, it looked like someone had the game just completely taken over 3 or 4 different times, and then all of a sudden the other team would score. It was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely crazy. Now, another game that people were paying attention to, I mean, you know, it was a weekend. That's what the weekend was about. But another game was the Denver-New England game. In fact, that was our nail-the-score game. It ended up New England won that sucker 45-10, not even a contest. Tim Tebow take a bow, but he is done for the Broncos, and the Broncos are done for the season anyway. In New England, the Patriots move on. Here's what Tom Brady had to say after the game.
That run to Aaron really, you know, got us off to a great start. He, you know, he's great with the ball in his hands. So, you know, all those guys played well. All the skilled guys, the offensive line played awesome. They threw a lot of stuff at us, and I thought we really responded well. Certainly the turnovers, I wish we wouldn't have those, but we can learn from those and hopefully go out and play better next week. You lose a few playoff games, and it's a very bitter way to end the season, and it sits on your mind for quite a long time. So for us to come out and play the way we did, have a, you know, a very solid performance in the most important game of the year is very gratifying. I think that, you know, we got 8 days to the biggest game of the year. So from this point on, you know, everyone will be focused on, you know, what we need to do to be better next week.
Yep, so they came through easily, boom, took care of business with Denver. We already talked about New Orleans and San Francisco, Baltimore and Houston in that game. The Ravens prevailed. Houston had their chances. They weren't able to do it. 20-13 for the Ravens. And the Giants were very, very impressive over Green Bay. People had written the Giants off, saying, well, Green Bay, they're the Super Bowl champs. Look at Aaron Rodgers. And the Giants prevailed in a big way because Eli Manning, when he had to, scrambled, made some big plays. And Cruz, once again, Victor Cruz was stunning. When he had to make some incredible catches, he did. And they got a comfortable lead, and the Packers could never get back into this then at the tail end of it. And so now New York moves on, too. Crazy. I don't know if – I think the Packers would have been the team that a lot of us would have picked. I picked the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl, but I think I know I picked the Packers to be on the other side of that. And so that's not going to happen now at this point. We are still going to do another Nail the Score. Don't forget, I'll be in Washington, D.C., but we will do Nail the Score next week on our Friday show in our third hour. Talking more politics next here on America Tonight with Ken Bassinet from Kiplinger.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Boy, you love this guy, and so do I. The Baz, Ken Bazinet, joins us again here on America Tonight. Of course, you know he's a longtime White House correspondent, 17-plus years covering politics. He's a political editor now for Kiplinger, and we are very lucky to have him with us. Baz, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and, of course, your audience. I hope things are continuing to go well for you.
They are. Thank you very much. The audience, of course, whether they're Democrat, whether they're independent or Republican, everybody just can't get enough of this Republican show that has now moved on to South Carolina. I was just reading in the Reuters poll that Romney has a 21-point lead, but yet Gingrich is saying he's the man and he's trying to court that evangelical vote along with Rick Santorum. Just looking at this overall, do you think Romney takes this, or do you think there's a rumble in South Carolina and he doesn't win this primary?
No, I definitely think there's a rumble in South Carolina, but the multitude of attacks and arguments that the candidates who are really vying for the same pool of voters on the hard right of the Republican Party, I think, you know, he is moving beyond, you know, the fact that they're hitting him from all angles based on the electability argument. I think that that has really begun to reach deep inside the Republican Party, and people are beginning to think about electability. It's really interesting. There are some polls showing that, you know, an awful lot of people say they don't really like him, but they think he's the guy who can beat President Obama in November. And I think that is carrying him a long way at this point, Kate.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I was in New Hampshire for the primary, and I talked to a lot of Democratic strategists who were on the ground doing some reconnaissance, and also obviously Republican strategists too. And, you know, even pundits and whatnot, Babe Buchanan, I was like, Babe, you're backing Mitt Romney. Everybody was backing Mitt Romney. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's electable. I mean, that is the party line. Everybody's out there mouthing that. They're pushing Romney, not these other cats.
You know, it was a big deal, even though it was in the end, it just came down to sort of an emotional win, if nothing else. But it was a big deal for him to come out of Iowa, because we all knew what he was going to do in New Hampshire. And the way this thing has been framed is that South Carolina would be the firewall for the far right candidates. Someone would emerge. And, of course, Santorum was the flavor of the month who emerged in Iowa.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though it was just by a handful of votes, essentially, he still finished behind Newt Gingrich in New Hampshire, and I think that's significant. Now what's happened in South Carolina is, you know, you really have Mitt Romney emerging, obviously, as the establishment candidate, and people are carrying that message about electability, and this is the guy, and people are starting to think along those lines. And in the meanwhile, you have Rick Santorum, and you have Newt Gingrich, and to a lesser extent, Rick Perry, you know, fighting for the available, you know, evangelical votes, if you will. Tea Party and evangelical, you know, people who identify with those political wings of the Republican Party. And, of course, you still have the phenomena of Ron Paul, whose backers have been there from the beginning. His numbers really don't sway that much, but he's also moved forward, and there's a very good chance that, you know, he can come in second in South Carolina, just because his following is just so loyal. But, you know, no matter what, if Mitt Romney wins in South Carolina, this so-called Southern firewall,
yeah,
well, it's broken. It's a breakthrough for him. And I think you'll see him roll in Florida a week from Tuesday, if that's the case. I think he's going to do that probably no matter what. But if he pulls off a victory Tuesday in South Carolina, that's an awful lot of momentum, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. How does he get around the whole Bain thing? Because, of course, that's what Newt Gingrich is hammering him on, Bain. There was a big article in Vanity Fair really listing out the different companies that they crashed and burned and how many people lost jobs. How does he get around that? I mean, pretty much I heard him one time say, well, you know, it's a business. That's what we're doing, running a business. And he's trying to skate around it.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it has a lot to do with the audience at this point. I don't think the Republican Party, as it is right now, is all that concerned with the Bain argument. So I think getting around it has more to do with the fight for the middle in the general election, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, Newt Gingrich has sort of moved away today, over the weekend as the weekend went on, he sort of moved away from his direct Bain attacks. You know, and instead was, you know, been suggesting that Mitt Romney is just too moderate for our party. Our party has moved further to the right, and he's not the right guy. That tells me that a lot of the surrogates, a lot of the people who are speaking out on behalf of Mitt Romney on the whole Bain issue, have begun to make some headroom and get to people in the Republican Party saying, listen, you are making the Obama campaign's argument against us. And if you do any damage, it could be lasting. And I think some of that is taking place, quite frankly, behind the scenes, and they're sort of moving away from that argument. But that said, and I want to be, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to, you know, part of an electorate, but that said, I don't know that the Bain argument is as damaging in the Republican primaries as it potentially could be in the general election, given, you know, the fact that the fight is for, you know, the more moderate, centrist, independent sort of thinking voters, you know, who some of whom may very well not like the story of Bain Capital and how it exists. You know, whereas I think part of the Republican Party says, well, this is just how business is done. And there are businesses that buy other businesses, and they make money by closing those businesses and selling off their assets or merging their assets. And I think that's sort of the argument that the mainstream Republicans are making right now, with, as I said, you know, a little bit of a message behind the scene saying, don't do the Obama campaign's dirty work for them. I mean, I can tell you point blank, just speaking to some Obama operatives in the past week, this has been a gift for them. The fact that the Republicans are bringing up Bain, and they don't really have to.
Right, no kidding, because they can use even clips from that, some of those commercials, some of the things
absolutely
that are out there. Yeah, they can
absolutely
say, look what their own
so
people say.
Thing. I don't know if you buy my argument or not, but I really don't think that the Bain argument is, you know, potentially as damaging in the primaries as it is in the general election. You know, and don't get me wrong, the Romney campaign would like it to go away, even though they
right
pretend like it's no big deal. You know, it's because I think it's going to be safely, I know it's going to be a cornerstone to the attacks once, you know, Romney clearly is the front runner, you know. And
yeah,
I can tell you, you know, that the Obama folks made the decision some time ago that they would only focus on Mitt Romney because they just didn't believe any of these flavors of the month were going to have any traction. And, of course, they were proven correct time and time again. And they've pretty much run out of flavors at this point. There's nobody else left in the field, you know. When all is said and done, I'm forecasting at Kiplinger, we're forecasting that, you know, Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee. And beyond that, that Ron Paul will have the second largest amount of delegates simply because he'll stay until the end. And his backers are just so loyal.
Yeah, oh,
and,
yeah. Yeah, you see
reality
that. Yeah,
yeah, and
you see that.
Prime time, he will have to be, you know, offered a prime time spot at the convention, I think, based on the fact that he is, you know, someone who's going to, you know, control a very influential block of Republican delegates in Florida at the end of next summer at the convention.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. You know, you talked about the momentum. So Romney, let's say he gets South Carolina, moves into Florida. Is there, at some point, do they just sort of call this thing? Like you said, it's Romney. I agree. I've said this all along. Same thing. He's establishment guy. But officially, because you're collecting delegates, at some
yeah
point, is it by Super Tuesday? When do they say, okay, you know, we can keep going with these primaries, and we will, but it's Mitt Romney?
I really believe that, with the exception of Ron Paul, that if Mitt Romney wins Tuesday in South Carolina, it's going to be very difficult for the Republicans to raise money, and that's the only way you stay in.
Yeah.
You have to be able to pay your, you know, you have to pay the, you know, your paid operatives on the ground and the all-important TV and radio advertising. You know, without any money, you just can't, you know, compete. So I think that you'll see, you know, what Perry leaves the race after South Carolina, I assume. And Santorum has to think long and hard whether or not he's going to just like run sort of as a, you know, a righteous, you know, evangelical, you know, Christian, candidacy just to make a point. In other words, his campaign is not all that expensive to run. And he may be able to stay in a little bit longer than the average person. Newt Gingrich's super PAC got a $5 million check from a single donor last week, and they've poured at least $3.2 million of that into advertising in South Carolina. That $3.2 million buys a lot of ads in South Carolina, I can tell you that. If that doesn't work, if he doesn't have a stellar showing, at least, you know, I mean, I would think he would probably have to finish above Paul and, you know, show some momentum that he was taking, you know, that he gained some ground on Mitt Romney in order for his donors to believe that he's still a good investment. So I think that will have a lot to say. I think Tuesday will have a lot to say in terms of dollars and cents. And then, you know, Florida is going to be very expensive to buy advertising. Those markets down there are not cheap. And, you know, after that, once you get to Super Tuesday, that should just be a blowout for Romney, all things considered. So, you know, I think it's up to the individual campaigns to decide how long can they stay in, you know. And the one person who's immune from that is Ron Paul because, you know, he explodes those money bombs
right
on the Internet and just raises, you know, millions. And can, for the kind of campaign that he's running, you know, with an awful lot of direct marketing, you know, where his campaign talks to his supporters via email, et cetera, the organizing is very impressive. And that's how they hold them on board. He's the only one who I think, you know, just because of that loyalty, that following that he has among voters, he will be able to finance a run right until the end, which is why he's going to accumulate, you know, some delegates along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back with more of the Baz in just a second.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog, packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
And you can catch him, Kiplinger. He is the political editor for that fabulous publication. And they've already pegged Romney, as he's told us, as the guy who's going to win the Republican nomination. You know, Baz, if that's in case that what happens, and in fact is what happens, and I think it is, and you think it is, and you guys have said that too, who do you think the undercard is? I was talking to the former governor of New Hampshire, Sununu, and he rolled his eyes when I said, "Wow, what about the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie? You know, he gets an invitation to the ball to be the VP. I'm not so certain he doesn't turn that down, and some of my sources said that that was a possibility. Do you think so? Do you think he would be the likely guy?"
I don't know that Chris Christie, like, it fulfills enough of what you need for the undercard. First of all, I don't know that Chris Christie can deliver his state. You know, there is there's going to be a very active Obama vote, both in northern New Jersey and southern New Jersey, is going to be formidable. And, you know, at this point, I think one of the criteria that they're going to look at is what does a person bring to the table beyond ideology. The other thing is, you know, he is center right, not right right, Chris Christie.
Right.
And Mitt Romney is center right, not right right. And that's why I think they're probably going to be looking more in the direction of someone who can help solidify any of the people on the far right who may have some questions or fears or concerns, whatever, about Mitt Romney, as the nominee. So I think that, you know, that is something that's in play at this time. I think Chris Christie would make a marvelous vice presidential candidate, but I don't know that that's
the way they go.
The party is thinking, and I'm not sure that that's where you go. Some people have suggested, given the little blip that he made in Iowa, that Rick Santorum is someone to look at. But here's a candidate that I think it's safe to say clearly can't deliver his state. Witness the fact that he lost it. I mean, remember, he's not in the United States Senate right now because he lost.
Right.
And, you know, that's something to keep in mind. So when you think about, you know, who, you know, what states do you need, who can bring whatever, I mean, Rob Portman from the Midwest, Ohio's going to be a battleground, same thing. I don't know what he can bring a state along with him. Now, there is one person who stands out as someone who could probably bring a state along with him, but there's a little bit of a hiccup in the way, and that is that he has said publicly, he has told his friends privately, and he has told his political consultants repeatedly that he won't take it. And, of course, that's Marco Rubio.
Yes.
In, you know, Cuban American in Florida, who's very popular U.S. senator, right? He has said he will not take it. But, you know, as some people have made the point, you know, when the nominee comes calling and says you can help your party retake the White House, you may have to do some rethinking and some soul searching. So I haven't written off Marco Rubio yet, even though he has so emphatically said publicly, I won't do it. It becomes a different sort of issue when, you know, not just the nominee, but all of the surrogates, all of the power people behind the nominee and in the Republican Party start calling you and saying, you know, you need to do this. We need you to do this. You can change a person's mind. And so I think that is something to sort of keep in mind. And, you know, there are some other candidates around. I'm not sure that, you know, there are that many in the field, to be honest with you, among the Republican presidential nominees. You know, John Huntsman has distinguished himself as a very intelligent, very wise man.
Sure.
With some traction in New Hampshire and no traction anywhere else, right?
Right.
And he might do, but it's the same scenario where, you know, here's a center right, if you will, another Mormon Republican presidential candidate.
Yeah, too similar.
You know. Yeah, does that work on the ticket as well as another issue? So I think that yet to be seen, but I guess what I'm trying to tell you and your listeners is, you know, when you're doing your scorecard, maybe you just put Marco Rubio in parentheses for right now with an asterisk saying, would be a great candidate, can they convince him to do it, is the question.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was in New Hampshire, I had a chance to talk to the DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she kept telling me, you know, hey, listen, this president has gotten jobs. I don't care what's being said. The president has gotten jobs and went through a litany of reasons why he should be elected. There's more to do, that kind of stuff. Do you think the Democrats have any concern? Are they worried about that middle? Because the fight is for the middle. Are they worried this time around, or do they feel like it's a layup?
No, I think that they know that they have to re-energize their base, win back some of the people who, quite frankly, were in the middle, who were with them in 2008. And, you know, their only argument is hey, you know, the question is whether that argument, which W. Wasserman Schultz is obviously previewing for you, whether or not that argument that we have created jobs. And by the way, the Democrats will argue that, and by the way, we did it despite the Republicans being in our way the entire time. And that will be the question is, you're going to have Mitt Romney's campaign presenting itself as the economic savior of the United States and the must, you know, vote for candidate versus President Obama basically saying, hey, we are making progress. You know what we inherited. We all know how tough things have been, but we are going in the right direction. Let us finish our program. This is no time to quit midstream. That will be, I think, their argument by and large. And the question is whether or not, you know, the middle will buy it. But I think that there are many, many Obama people, certainly in the brain trust, they know. You know, there's some people who are with them for anti-war policies that they bought into. There are people who bought in, who are with them for, obviously, don't ask, don't tell. There are people who, you know, just thought that, you know, the previous administration had gone in the complete, you know, wrong direction, and there were young voters. And then, of course, there are the minority voters who did not really show up in 2010 in the midterm election, but certainly did vote in great numbers in 2008. Those folks also have to be energized. So they know that there's an awful lot of work for them to do, but I think that, you know, they know what the fight is going to be, which is going to be trying to convince the middle that their program is worth letting them continue rather than stopping midstream. And they will try to paint Mitt Romney, obviously, as someone who comes from the people who helped create the crashes of 2008 in the housing market, the financial markets, and then, you know, obviously the banking and investment crisis that, you know, swept Wall Street and then the rest of the world, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. In going through this and handicapping what's going to happen in the Democrats, what the attack is going to be, and as you just laid it out, of course, I agree with you 100%. There's also a push for a third party. And there are a lot of interesting people that are really beating the drum for this idea, and they have some money behind them. I don't think we see it in this election, but maybe next time, next presidential election, maybe it's not so far-fetched to think that there may be some third party. Do you think so?
Well, I think there's certainly a growing number of voters who would have been, you know, members of one of the two mainstream traditional parties who now are saying that, you know what, I'd like to see an alternative. And couple that with the fact that you have two very different, you know, movements that erupted in the last two and a half years or so, first with the Tea Party and then with Occupy. It just shows you that there's, you know, polarity within parties themselves. So I think that there's probably been no better time in my lifetime for a potential third-party run with organizational capacity. I mean, 1980 was interesting with Anderson, obviously, on the ticket, and he did, you know, get some folks to vote for him, but there was nothing that came out of that. It was a one-shot deal. He ran, and he had success for his own reasons, whereas this is, a group of people who have organized and signed and gotten lines on ballots in November by having the organizational skill and basically saying, we have a slot on the ballots. We just don't have a candidate. But we're organized and we are prepared for this. And, you know, I think it's something to pay attention to. Obviously, you know, there are an awful lot of people in the Republican Party that want to make sure that, Ron Paul is happy, or at least appeased when this is all over, because let's face it, if Ron Paul were to do a third-party run or a surrogate of some sort who could tap into what Ron Paul has, that could do some serious damage to the Republicans. And I think that's also something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. Baz, always fun to chat with you. Thanks for handicapping stuff with us. We appreciate it. Kiplinger, that's the publication. Check it out. He's the man. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.